he had a motorcycle, and he got in a motorcycle accident. And it was in Michigan. It led to his death as a young man, probably, I'm going to guess, in his early 40s, Cliff Judd. The injury was a head injury, and I believe that, I don't know if he'd wearing a helmet, probably not. In driving a motorcycle, you need to have on a helmet on your head at all times. But let me say that if you are a born-again believer and you are in a soul-winning, Bible-believing church, you're going to have protection for your head against a blow from Satan. Too many of you who may know the Lord are making a big mistake. You're walking around without the helmet of hope on your head, and it will allow you to get knocked down by the devil. And too many believers are moping instead of hoping. Too many believers today are like the disciples before the Lord rose from the dead, before they knew he was alive. And they were moping in the upper room with no hope. And too many believers today act like they have a funeral instead of celebrating a resurrection. You go to Catholic churches and there is a cross and Jesus is hanging on the cross. And their Christ is an idol hanging on the cross. But our Christ is one whose dead body was taken down from that cross and was put in a rich man's grave. And after three full nights and three full days in that grave, 72 hours, he rose again and walked out, leaving behind him the empty grave. If you're going to ride a motorcycle, you better wear a helmet of protection that will protect you from being hit so that you lose consciousness. But if you're going to be an aggressive soul winner in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, you better take up and put on and keep on a helmet of hope of salvation on your head. You better have protection of hope in divine deliverances. And that's what I want to preach about this morning. It says in Ephesians 6:17, it says, and take the helmet of salvation. That's talking about our final salvation out of this world. And then it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. And the sermon this morning is, where is your helmet of hope this morning? Where is your helmet of hope this morning? And first of all, I want to talk about the what of that. The what of that. The Bible says that if you believe in Christ, in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection, then you are begotten again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Peter 1:3. Our hope is not a dead hope. It's a lively hope. Our Savior is not a dead Savior. He's a living Savior. And the hope that you have for the future is not a dead thing. That means that when you hope for the future, and it seems to die within you, that hope, because of problems in your life, and it starts to die. And listen, what happens is when that hope within you starts to die, and it seems like it's dead. It's not a dead hope. It's a living hope. And that hope will come back again. And that hope will raise up again. And that hope will begin to move with inside of you again by the power of the Holy Spirit. My wife and I, we had six children that we saw born together. And I remember many times my wife would say to me, hey, feel my tummy. And she would take my hand and put it on her tummy. And on her tummy, you'd see something moving right on her tummy, like through the skin. And it was a hand of a baby. And she would say, that baby's alive within me. And I could feel that baby was alive and moving about inside of her. That is the way our hope in God is. It is a lively hope. It's not a dead hope. It's a real thing. It's a living thing. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8, you must take up and put on an helmet of the hope of salvation. What does this refer to? It refers to the final salvation which we will have when we are delivered out of this world by Jesus himself. That living Savior is going to come back and take us out of this world. And so we have that living hope looking forward to that. You say, what do you mean by hope? What does the Bible mean by hope when it says hope of salvation? I need to have that. It's a favorable, confident expectation of good from God alone concerning your future. Let me say that again. It's a favorable, confident expectation of good from God alone concerning your future. The Bible says it this way in Psalm 62, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. You know, I had a lot of things hit me this week. And I'll be honest with you, I get tired sometimes, sick and tired of being put into that place again and again in my life when I'm stripped of all of my human hopes and once again I have to be shut up to God. Sometimes I get angry at it, I'll be honest with you. I'm telling you my human emotion. It's like I've been here before, God. Now I'm being here again. You're stripping away my human hopes. Oh, you want me to trust in you again, don't you? You want me to trust in you? I'm tired of that. I just like to have it settled and be over and not just relax and not have to be stripped of my human hopes. In fact, it went on this week and I saw a great deliverance from God and I was praising God for that deliverance. And no sooner did that happen than something else hit me. And then this morning, as I was coming to church, the devil was hitting me again. And even getting you this message, everything was stopped. And my daughter, who's here this morning, she saved my bacon. I just said, Mindy! And she came in and saved my bacon, and she got it all set. And then she said, now you bring it into your secretary. She'll take it from here. And she did. We got the sermon. Amen. We got the sermon. I couldn't even think straight after all that. My mind was blotto. God puts me there again and again. And I'll be honest with you, the human emotion, I don't like it. I don't like it. But the Bible says that's wrong on my part, because the Bible says that I'm to rejoice in my tribulations, and not only in them, but even because of them. Because he lets them happen in my life, yes, to strip me of my human hopes, but so that he will get the praise and I will glorify him for when he comes through. And you never fail, O Lord, praise be unto your name. But I'm saying this morning, if you're in such a place of your own hopelessness and helplessness, that's when the God of hope will come through for you. By the way, some of you are here and you're going to die and go to hell and not to heaven. And you say, well, why will I die and go to hell? Because you're trusting in your own human hope to get to heaven. The Bible said that Abraham was promised a child and he hoped that he could help God out and have that child when his wife was barren. So he got another woman and he got her pregnant and had another baby and all that. And God said, nope, I'm going to wait till you're 100 years old and your wife's 90 years old and you're going to have a baby through her. Because God said, I want you to hope in me alone and trust in me. And some of you, that's what you need to be. You need to see you're a sinner. You can't save yourself. You're hopeless. And then you can receive his gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, who died on that cross and rose again to save anybody who will trust the Lord. Not just in your head, but trust him in your heart, because you have no human hope of saving yourself. I'm just saying that that God does that in our lives. And so I do get sick of the same sin and stupidity I see in people in the body of Jesus Christ when they play into the hands of Satan. And I see my need to rejoice in my tribulations that come from these things, and that I needed to confess my sin and say, God, I'm not rejoicing in my tribulations. And even the one I had this morning where Mindy helped me, I was struggling. I was struggling with it. But I want you to know that God never fails. And I'm saying to you that the what of the helmet of the hope of salvation. Hope is a confident expectation of good concerning the future, that God is going to come through for you. And soon thereafter, often the heaviness of my tribulation lifts. The sun comes back out because God lifts the oppression of that particular tribulation. But here's what the Bible says when you're going through heaviness. Here's what the Bible says when you're going through these philipsis, tribulations, these pressures. By the way, we're going to go through a future great tribulation before God gives us our final salvation out of this place. And so get used to it. But here's what the Bible says. Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. 1 Peter 1:6. You see, you're going through an oppression, a heaviness, because it's needed in your life so that you can have your helmet on and learn to hope in God. The heaviness is for the testing or trying of your faith. And it's so that you will give thanks in the midst of it, and even because of it, and you will be thankful to God, and your heart will be right with God in the midst of it. See, you can think you're right with God and everything's fine, and God says, you're not trusting me. You're not really hoping in me. I'm going to send you some tribulations, and boy, I certainly must need it because I've resented it when I had it of late. And you can again take up and put on the helmet of the hope of salvation that is God's future deliverance in your life. And when you're serving the Lord with your whole heart, the devil will do two things to you. If you are really serving the Lord with your whole heart, with a good conscience, the devil will, number one, stir up attacks upon you, both inside and from outside of the church. I'm saying if you're really serving the Lord with your whole heart and you're doing God's will, the devil will see that and he will stir up inside and outside of the church attacks upon you. Then, number two, he will internally attack your mind to get you weary in well-doing and to talk you into moping instead of hoping when these attacks come on you. That same devil then suggests that you need to look for a way out of here. You need to look for a way out of this church. This is too hot to handle in here, and you need to look for a break and save yourself and figure out a way to get out of here. I don't know if you relate to that. If you do relate to it, it means you've been on the front lines. If you do relate to it, it means that you know what it's like to walk with God and surrender to God. And so that's what he wants you to do. He wants you, like so many professing believers, to just plain quit and go somewhere else. I'm talking about the what of your helmet of the hope of God's deliverance, the hope of salvation. So what God wants you to know this morning is what this helmet is. He wants you to take it up and to wear it as a protector of hope in your life, so that you might have hope written all over your countenance and people might see it. And if you fail, the devil is hoping to get you to quit or just to go through the motions, but just mope around and not really be hopeful in God. And he wants believers perhaps to start fighting each other instead of going ahead and fighting the devil with the gospel and marching on the gates of hell. And he doesn't want you with that helmet of the hope of salvation. I read a book called Pilgrim's Progress. Some of you may have read it. And the Christian in that was called Hopeful. Hopeful. I was grateful this week. My wife was trying to encourage me and get me to hope in God. And that's usually my role. I usually am the hopeful person. I usually encourage people. But I needed that encouragement. Where's your heart? We've been talking about the what of the helmet of the hope of salvation. I want to say something about the how of the helmet of the hope of salvation. How does this hope in God in your troubles show itself up in your life in a practical way? Well, how about Moses and the children of Israel? God led Moses to lead the people out of Egypt, and they went out into the wilderness, but they came up against the Red Sea, and they couldn't go any further because the Egyptian army was now behind them, and Pharaoh was after them. He would not give up. 10 times he kept after them, and right away he said he let them go, and then he changed his mind, and he said he let them go, and then he changed his mind, and finally he came with the whole army of Egypt and was going to crush them at the Red Sea. And the people said, this is too much. Ever since we've met this man of God, this Moses, he's got our hopes up. And every time we get our hopes up and God does something, boom, Pharaoh comes back and crushes our hope and puts us back in bondage again. We're so sick of it. And now he's going to kill us right here at this sea. And we did all this for nothing. And they began to complain and they began to criticize. And they pointed their finger at Moses and they were mad. Don't think it's surprising if you're following God and leading people to follow God and they have troubles and then they point their fingers at you and they say, you. And my tendency is to say, it's not my fault. I didn't do this. But you know what? Moses, he said to the people these words, and I've preached it many times, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I remember preaching that, and I said, Donald Trump's going to get elected. He's going to help America. And people would say to me, it's not going to happen. And then he did get elected in 2016. Started to do things that were good. And then right away, they started to try to impeach him, and tried to impeach him twice, and spied on his campaign, and all of this, and got away with it, it seemed. And oh my. Then launched COVID, and all of that went through, and people were saying, see, yeah, he got elected, but nothing's going to come of it. 2020 came, they stole that election. And people said, you can't fight these globalists. They're too powerful. No, I can't fight them, but Satan can. It says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. See, when you're hoping in God, your problems are so great, you don't see the way out, but you see the one who can bring you out. And that's what Moses was saying. I don't see how God's going to take care of Pharaoh. I don't see how we're going to get through this Red Sea situation here. But I see God, and I tell you to stand still and see. And I remember in 2020 when they stole the election, we had prayer and fasting for a month or so. We just kept praying and fasting, and finally I said, I think God has heard us. We can stop praying and fasting together on Mondays. God's heard us, and he's gonna come through. Little did I know it would be 4 years later before God brought him back in 2024, November 2024. Too big to rig. And since he's come back, these folks are still trying to fight. But there is coming a final smash time. And that is when God says, enough is enough. I'm going to completely smash the opposition. And that's what happened with Moses and the children of Israel. God said, lift up your rod, your shepherd's staff. The Red Sea split. He went into the Red Sea with the Israelites. The Egyptians followed. And then the Israelites went to the other side. The Egyptians had the sea come down on them. Moses lowered the rod, lowered the boom, and it came down on them. I'm telling you how God does it. I'm telling you how God does it. I remember 2017. The devil was trying to take me right out of this pulpit. He managed to get me out for 9 months. I remember finally I had my day in court. It took me 9 months to have my day in court. I got my day in court, and I remember it didn't seem like a great Red Sea. I was praying, God, let their chariot wheels come off and let the Red Sea fall down on them, these wicked people. And I thought, man, the Red Sea's just going to come down on them. But you know what happened? Didn't seem like anything happened. And I had to wait for a decision. And that night, I remember praying to God. God, I asked for months that you'd bring the Red Sea down. You didn't do it. And he reminded me like a still small voice, but don't you remember you prayed for chariot wheels? The chariot wheels of the Egyptians fell off so they couldn't chase the Israelites. And they were dug down in the sand just before the Red Sea fell. I remember that. Do you remember the solicitor that was coming against you, that his tire came off and he was late getting there? And I was like, yeah, wow. And right after that, the Red Sea came down. And God did something. I've seen it over and over again in my life, how God delivers me. Like my wife says so many times of me, somebody's always helping that boy. That's why I didn't want to be a pastor, because I saw pastors that were wholehearted for God and they would get hit by the devil and hit and lied about and attacked. And I said, I don't want to be in a public eye like that. I don't want to subject myself to that. But God said, yeah, I want you to do that. You know, if you're called to be a preacher, you really can't do anything else. You have a strong desire and you can't give it up. You can't do it anything else. And Paul said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. And so you might as well embrace the helmet of the hope of salvation. And you might as well understand, if you go all out for God, that you're going to see a difficulty come. And the Bible says there's coming a great tribulation. Thank God he raised up Donald Trump, who's an anti-globalist. I think about what Brother Z said the other day. He said we had two Jessies. Actually, we have another Jesse attending now. So, but two Jessies that are members of our church. We have Jesse Kresge over here. And where's the Jesse? Say it out loud. Goebel. And Brother Eric said he's a Goebelist. But you know what? Satan is a globalist. And the Bible says there's going to be a one world government. There'll be no United States government. There'll be a one world government. That's why they want to get rid of our borders. That's why they wanted all those people. Because they want that one world government. They want to reduce the population. That's why they had COVID. Kill more people. By the way, what we had in COVID is just a dress rehearsal for what's coming during the 70th week. It's just a dress rehearsal. But I'm just saying, hope in God. If your hope is in this world, it's in the wrong place. This world is going to burn. God is going to bring down judgment, but it won't be, listen to me, until globalism wins, until the Antichrist and the beast are in absolute power over everybody, and you won't be able to buy or sell without his authority. That's where it's going. And then your only hope will be in God and in the second coming of the Son of God. And he won't disappoint. He will bring in what's called the day of the Lord, and he will signal it by cosmic darkening, by great tsunamis and earthquake. And he will signal it, my friends. And then the only light you'll see is the light coming from the glory of the coming Jesus. He's coming again. Right now, he's teaching you to wear that helmet of the hope of salvation. Right now, this deliverance that we've gotten after we've gone through the tribulations of the globalists, it's been Trump coming in and helping America. Thank God for that, and pushing back the devil's timeline and bring, I believe we're into a time of a mini day of the Lord when God is going to judge the globalists. But it's only a mini day of the Lord. They're coming back. They're taking over. I don't know how long this will last. I'm going to use every moment by God's grace. But I'm just saying the how of this helmet of the hope of salvation, how it works. I've had hope for the city of Scranton and for our church. Thank God for this church. But I believe God has plans for this church. To break through with the gospel of Jesus Christ and get people saved and save people in the Catholic middle class in Scranton and fill this place. Thank God we have a lot of people here. Fill it on a Sunday morning and have to fill it again. And to reach our Jerusalem from Tunkhannock all the way to Moscow and from Wilkes-Barre to Carbondale. We got some folks from Carbondale here today, from Wilkes-Barre here today. I'm saying, we have a vision, but so often when God gives you a vision, and the Bible says without a vision, the people, when God gives you a vision, then the devil brings in opposition and disappointments and discouragement, and pretty soon your vision lays in ashes and you say, there's no way it's going to happen. My vision has died. The birth of the vision, the death of the vision. But listen, the vision is fulfilled by God. And acts of the power of God. And that will happen in your life. You'll have a vision, a birth of a vision, and the death of your vision, like Abraham had it. And then the fulfillment of the vision by the power and promises of Almighty God. The how of it. We're talking about your hope and the how of your hope. That's why Joseph, the Bible says, the young man, he had dreams and he had his brethren bowing down to him. He didn't understand that God was going to use him to feed the known world and to take care of his brethren when they were adults. And the Bible says when he was turned on by his brethren and sold as a slave and went to prison in Egypt and was slandered and lied about, his dreams were dashed. His hopes were dashed. You ever been there? But the Bible says Joseph did not forget his dreams. By the grace of God, I'm not going to forget my vision for Scranton. I'm not going to forget my vision for revival. By the grace of God, I'm talking about the how of the hope, the helmet of the hope of salvation. I'm talking about the what of the helmet of the, it's God's hope that he puts in your heart, a lively hope. But if need be, you have to go through heaviness and through the death of the vision before you're going to see it fulfilled. Where is this morning your helmet of hope? Is it overwhelmed with mope, or is it filled with hope? I'm talking about the what of it. I'm talking about the how of it. Now I'm talking about the when of it. When will your hope be realized? The prophet Habakkuk was told to make inspired prophecies and to write them in such a way is that they would be plain. And he was to write it in the scripture so it would be plain for people to read those prophecies. By the way, I found out when God tells me something or shows me something from the Word of God, I try to make it plain to people so they know what to expect. And that's what Habakkuk was told to do as a prophet of God. Then he was told not only to make it plain and to get it out there, but he was told to wait for those prophecies to happen. He was told to wait. By the way, do you know that hope helps you to have patience? Hope helps you to wait. Hope helps you to continue and stay with what God wants you to do until he comes through. And so that's what he said. He said, I want you to wait for what God is going to do. You know, I sometimes listen to people that begin to see through the globalists. Joe Rogan, Tucker Carlson, Alex Jones, and so forth and so on. Alternate media. And they can see through the lies of the globalists. By the way, if you listen to mainstream news, you're like a mind-numb robot of delusion. And I feel sorry for you this morning. And I'll listen to these guys, and I think of Alex Jones and something he can see what the globalists are doing in America and the victories now that are being won. He can even see what the globalists are doing in Israel. You know, it's interesting, Israel is God's chosen nation, but they gave their people the jab. Did you know that? And that jab was a globalist lie to kill people. You see, that nation did that. But sometimes what Alex Jones fails to see, he puts a moral equivalency between Iran and Israel. When the Bible is very clear in Jeremiah 49, God is angry with Iran and he's going to take out their nuclear sites. It's in the Bible. And so Alex Jones will say, if that happens, there's going to be a world war. It's going to be over. Well, no, it's not. Read your Bible. There'll be a great war in the Middle East. It's going to happen soon. I've been preaching it. But when it's all said and done, Israel will not be destroyed. Israel will take over more of their land. By the way, the land of Gaza is Israel's, not Hamas. They need to get out of there. Alex Jones don't want to mess with that. But he needs to know his Bible. That Israel is going to take from the sea all the way to the river. You say, but they don't believe in Messiah. That's going to be. Yeah, but according to Jeremiah 49, Psalm 81, Zephaniah 2, 4 through 7, these prophecies are going to happen before the Messiah comes, even before the beast takes over. Know your Bible. And so I'm just talking the win of the hope in God. You need the Bible, and you need to understand Bible prophecies in order to be patient, in order to know where you are, and to keep hoping in God, and to keep serving God. My vision is not discouraged by these prophecies. It's encouraged. I believe that Israel is going to, for a time, expand and become one of the richest nations in the earth. It is going to become a great power. And sadly, after it becomes a great power and even defeats Turkey and other nations, they're not going to defeat Turkey. God's going to do it for them. Even after all that happens, they're going to sell out to the Western globalist and make a covenant that will bring about the end times. We'll talk about that this afternoon a little bit if you're there. But I'm just saying the win of it. Do you know the times? Do you know the seasons? Do you know what's going on? And do you have hope? Because of God. Because what's the worst thing this world can do to you? It can kill you. But even if you die of heart attack, cancer, stroke, it can't kill this hope. It's greater than this world. That's why the psalmist put it this way when he was like I was this week. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, who is the help of thy countenance and thy God. Something very drastic sometimes happens and did happen recently. And I can say at that time I had a hope in God when maybe others did not. I had a hope in God in my breast and a peace. Everything's all right. Everything's all right because of God. How about you? Where's your helmet of hope? Heard about the what of it, the how of it, the when of it. Where's your helmet of hope? You need to wait for God until he does it. My daughter was trying to help with my computer, and I had to do something, so I worked on my Sunday school class. And she gave me the good counsel what to do, and when we got here, it was still in need of resurrection. So Brother Z said, shut it, plug it in, leave it go. My daughter had said the same thing. Yeah, I went out to the Sunday school class, and secretary came out about 15 minutes later or whatever it was, said, okay, it's working. God raised your computer from the dead. Boy, I tell you, I hate computers, don't you? But hey, that's where we live now, right? We should have read Revelation. It's all going to be computers at the end. But even God is over all that. So that's what the psalmist said. And then he said, you know, I need to preach a message to myself. Hope thou in God, and you'll be blessed. I'm just saying, hope thou in God, who is the help of thy countenance and thy God. If you're going to walk with God, I'm not going to lie to you, Satan will attack you. And you need to have this helmet on your head to protect you, because he wants to knock you out of this church and to knock you out of this listening to the preaching of the Word of God and out of reading your Bible and praying and staying with it. He will do everything he can. But if you have that helmet on, you will not mope. You will hope. You will have a lively hope. You'll overcome. And even if Satan throws so much cold water, the fire of hope is just about out. He's going to feed gas underneath on that fire. It'll flame back up again. Hope in God. That's the message this morning that God wanted you to hear, but Satan obviously didn't want you to hear it this morning. He attacked it. Are you going to get it? Are you going to get it? And some of you, you're here, I hate to say this, but I have to say it, you're going to die and go to hell because you're clinging, listen to me, to a human hope. A human hope. Cling to the promise of God. You say, but I don't feel it. Don't worry about that. If need be, you're in heaviness through these testings that Satan is throwing cold water on your faith and on your hope. Trust the Lord. Trust his promise. And he will not fail you. You'll wake up in heaven. Once you die, or when Jesus comes back, you'll go to him. But if you hold on to human hope, you'll die and go to hell. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. The Lord Jesus, and he'll save you. And then, child of God, follow him all the way. Trust him all the way. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We've been talking about